You're
Wow,
good.
is how I'm feeling right now. So wow to be here with you. And I didn't think I was going to be here with you in this way. And this is how things have come to be. And the miracle of technology and all of the beings at IRC. I'm so glad that I can be here and participate in this offering. I really touched seeing you all in the meditation hall at IRC. So I wanted to offer a warm welcome for those of you who don't know me. We haven't met before. My name is Nisha. And a really warm welcome to you all. We have this interest in meditation that brings us to a retreat like this. But we come from so many different walks of life, different backgrounds, different genders, sexual orientation, class, racial, ethnic backgrounds, ancestry, body shapes, all kinds of ways in which we have differences, and that adds to the richness of what we're co-creating here together. And so I wanted to let you all know that you are welcome here as you are. And I think there's something about this practice that's really about opening to that kind of welcoming and even offering it to ourselves. And sometimes there are parts of ourselves that we like, parts of ourselves that we don't really like, parts of ourselves that we haven't really made time for. But really opening to welcoming all of these parts here as we arrive in this retreat. I've been reflecting on retreat practice and just really how precious this is for us as practitioners and even just as human beings, just to have some time and silence to put down the responsibilities of daily life for a while and to really take in the invitation of the Dhamma. To prioritize our deepest aspirations in this fleeting life. I feel moved to honor a beloved teacher, Thich Nhat Hanh, who passed away recently. He was such a beautiful expression of what is possible for us as human beings. And how this cultivation of inner freedom is so connected with outer peace. Maybe I'll share with you a message from His Holiness the Dalai Lama, a condolence message. He writes, "I am saddened to learn that my friend and spiritual brother, Venerable Thich Nhat Hanh, has died. I offer my condolences to his followers in Vietnam and around the world. In his peaceful opposition to the Vietnam War, his support for Martin Luther King, and most of all, his dedication to sharing with others not only how mindfulness and compassion contribute to inner peace, but also how individuals cultivating peace of mind, contribute to genuine world peace. The Venerable lived a truly meaningful life. So as we arrive here in this retreat, we can reflect on what really matters to us deep down in our heart that brings us to this practice. I invite us to give ourselves over to devotion of our heart's deepest aspirations. Let ourselves be here in this time together. And maybe Thich Nhat Hanh can be a reminder of what is possible for us. Maybe we can dare to aspire big for ourselves and for our world. So welcome, dear one. We're looking forward to our time together.
Thank you, Anisha, for that. And your words were wonderful. And what you don't maybe appreciate is that yours is the only smile we see. So thank you for just being you and showing up in such a wonderful way. And I cherish that we discover the Dharma with whatever is happening. And so I know for me, in my narrow-mindedness, I would have thought 10 years ago that never do something like this at a retreat. But now, you know, I'm not so narrow-minded, and now I delight in this and appreciate it and reminded, we just find the Dharma with whatever is here. This is what's here, and I love it that Anisha is able to share it with us. So thank you. So there's a couple of logistical things. We'll give a series of instructions as we go along here. And so in the morning, there'll be instructions for walking meditation, and then there'll be instructions later in the morning for meditation posture. And we'll talk more detail about what times and things like that in the morning. And so a variety of things will just unfold as we go along. And hopefully, you realize there's lots of sitting gear out in the lobby out there. So hopefully you can find the right thing that you could use for yourself. These window seats here, and they're not supposed to be reserved, but if you're first come, first served, and the reason not to reserve them is some people need to lie down or have a different way of being, and if they're going to meditate, and so just to be able to have that as a place to go for a little bit. And if it needs to be more permanent, something like that, you can talk to the teachers and we can figure out something. And then any chair, pretty much any chair you find in IRC that works better for you to sit, meditate in a chair, you can bring it up here. If for some reason these chairs don't work as well enough for you compared to other chairs, please bring them up. And those turquoise chairs down below, sometimes people bring them up and use those. And for example, or if there's a chair in your room that works better, so. We just want you to be able to be comfortable. Some people like them black mesh chairs more. There are a few in what's called the fire closet. So if you go out next to the water fountain, just to the beyond it, there's a closet that has folding mesh, those black mesh chairs like we have in the dining room, if that works better for you. And finally, we have a lot of these sabotans, black ones mostly, down in the yogi need closet. So if you want to sit outside, like on the deck, and have something to sit on, on the ground, you're welcome to take one of those and put it on the deck. But try to, if it's a little bit dirty, try to sweep it a little bit or make it a little bit clean, or pat out the dust if you pick it up. Make sure you bring it back a little bit clean. Don't bring it back with a lot of dust on it, if possible. So, the theme for this retreat, for the talks and for the whole practice, is the central teachings the Buddha had on this mindfulness practice, and that is the four foundations for mindfulness. And Thich Nhat Hanh wrote a beautiful book called I just loved his titles of his books. And this one, it's called Transformation and Healing. And to his commentary on this, the Buddhist the Sutta on the Four Foundations, he describes it. He says, of mindfulness, I like four mindfulness, and I'll explain that as we go along. And so I wanted to given the occasion now when we're remembering him, and one of the things I appreciate, he was very, he didn't feel bound to the narrow definition of words and translating it to English, and he had his own rich sense of presence and practice that he was reading the text through, and so he would adjust some of the translations accordingly. And for the discourse on the four foundations for mindfulness, it begins usually, but there is a direct way. Early in English was there is one way. And so was it one way? Is it direct way? And there's a lot of ink about what the proper translation should be. Why is it direct or is it one? So then Thich Nhat Hanh comes around and he translates it. There is a most wonderful way. There is a most wonderful way to help living beings. Isn't that beautiful? I just love it. It makes me happy. The idea of a wondrous way to help living beings. And that's what this teaching is about. And then he has his title, Transformation and Healing, for that process. And then I thought also good for the occasion to read some of his words on this topic. We practice full awareness in order to realize liberation, peace, and joy in our everyday lives. Liberation and happiness are linked to each other. If there is liberation, there is happiness. And greater liberation brings greater happiness. We know that if there is liberation, peace and joy exists in the present moment. We do not need to wait 10 or 15 years to realize them. They are available as soon as we begin the practice. However modest these elements may be, they form the basis for greater liberation, peace, and joy in the future. To practice meditation is to look deeply in order to see into the essence of things. Due to our insight and understanding, we can realize liberation, peace, and joy. So this is, this is the kind of what the practice is about, what this teaching, the four foundations of for mindfulness. And the four areas are embodied existence, and to bring embodied awareness to our body, to discover not only how to know and be aware and conscious of the body, but also to discover the awareness that resides in the body, the experience the body has of itself. And then there's the second foundation, which is feeling, feeling tone. And this begins to look at the subjective experiences we have of pleasant and unpleasantness, of pleasure and pain, of kind of how we kind of participate and are impacted by the world we live in. And to transform the impact the world has on us to something deeper, a deeper form of pleasure or peace or happiness, is one of the part of the opportunity to kind of begin tuning into the subjective experience, which, and I use the word subjective here because it's immediate. It's the way we experience and know something now. It's not based on the past, and you know, it's a deep kind of deep personal connection to how we meet the world and receive the world and our experience. And then there's a foundation of mind states, heart states, the quality of our inner being. And the only person in the end who can really be the custodian of your inner well-being is yourself. So we look at this third foundation is looking at the mind states, the quality of, this inner quality of. And then the fourth foundation are the activities of the mind that either keep us in bondage, keep us caught and unliberated, or those activities of the mind that move us towards freedom, including the insights that move us towards freedom. So these four foundations are the ones that awaken mindfulness, that they mature mindfulness, they develop awareness. And one of the really great things about this whole practice is that we're taking innate capacities, and as we are born with, the capacity to be aware, and we're strengthening it, we're appreciating it, we're becoming devoted to it, and discovering what is it to be aware? And how is it to be aware that there's liberation in the awareness? Thich Nhat Hanh doesn't say, it doesn't take 10, 15 years. There's something about even one moment of awareness that has qualities of freedom in it. And what is that? What is the freedom that's found in being aware? Or how are you aware that there's freedom right then in the awareness? And then, as Thich Nhat Hanh said, that, you know, and discovering that kind of awareness, present moment awareness, then is a kind of freedom, is a kind of happiness that leads to more and more happiness. So this Four Foundations of Mindfulness is like central to our Buddhist tradition, our insight practice. And I think I look forward to having a week to kind of explore it and rediscover it. And the Buddha once said that when he was an old man, he said, even if people question me for 100 years, I would always be ready, ever ready to keep talking about mindfulness. Like there's always more to discover, always more to say, always more to find out. So I look forward to our time and on this topic, and that's our journey, the kind of the map for our journey. And part of what we do in a formal beginning is to share a mutual commitment, devotion to the refuges and precepts. And Nakawe is going to talk about the refuges and precepts, and then Nisha is going to lead the chanting of them.
How's the sound? Good. Okay. Yes, opening a retreat for those who have retreated before. Of course, we start with the refuges and the precepts. And for those new to retreats, this is a traditional way that has been done for thousands of years, since the Buddha, 2,600 years. And it's the way we open, you know, taking refuge. And taking refuge, just the word refuge, you know, we take refuge. Refuge is a sense of safety, of security. And what the teachings are pointing to is that there's a way of being safe and taking refuge in something that is everlasting, is eternal, is boundless. And this is the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, the three jewels. We call them the three jewels. And I've noticed in my own practice over the years, my understanding and my deep appreciation and respect just keeps on growing, you know, as the teachings get deeper and deeper in me, my respect and my love for the triple gem just keeps growing. So it's a beautiful practice. And I will basically just say a little bit about it, and then Nisha is going to do some beautiful chanting, which is really why I'm here, because I want to hear her chanting. So taking refuge in the Buddha is just what Gil was talking about. And a phrase that Thich Nhat Hanh always says is, I have arrived in the here and the now. I'm home. So that's it. You know, it's that awakened mind. Buddha is that awakened mind that we can access. It's always here, you know. So the practice is about just coming into that presence, you know, into that awareness. There's so much wisdom there. There's so much compassion, you know, once we really touch the present moment. And that was what the Buddha was saying, that was Thich Nhat Hanh, all of our teachers saying, you know, is that presence. So we're going to take refuge in the Buddha, in the awakened being, and also in that awakening in our own self, the Buddha in us, in our own hearts, that we can awaken at any moment. We take refuge in the Dhamma, which is the teachings of the Buddha. That's one definition of the Dhammas. Also, the Dhamma means the truth of reality as it is. So we take refuge in the teachings. And the third is the Sangha. That's us. All of us practicing together. All of us supporting each other through these retreats, these 7 days. And together as community, as Sangha, the teachings, we can support each other as we delve into these teachings and soak in them and learn from them. It's so powerful. So these are the triple gem, and Anisha is going to be chanting them for us. And this is an invitation. It's not that you have to do this, but is everybody chanting, or she's just chanting?
I think she was going to chant the Pali, then she was
going to... Oh, right, okay. So it's an invitation. If you'd like, if you've never done it before, you can try it, but we... You know, you can open up and see what happens. You know, chanting is a very powerful way of receiving the teachings that is not conceptual. It deals with the heart and it deals with the body. And it's a beautiful way to suffuse the teachings inside through chanting. So you could try it.
Okay. How is the sound? Are we good?
It's good.
I got a thumbs up. Thank you. So, I think we'll do the English in call and response. And then I'll chant in Bali, and whoever knows the Bali is welcome to join in. There's no, you don't need to worry about getting it right. And one of the things Gil says that I love is you can come along if you don't remember the words, and you can even just feel it in your heart. It all counts. So to invite you to chant and just sense, I think the other thing that's lovely about chanting is to sense into our collective presence, and you're all there together in person in retreat. That's one of the things I really miss with online retreats. We don't get to hear that kind of resonance of everybody in the same space chanting. So enjoy that with each other. So we begin by just paying homage to the Buddha. And here, what I like to do is just touch into any gratitude that I might feel for this practice, for what I have received. And so in English, I'll say the first time we'll do call and response, and then we repeat it two more times. Homage to the blessed.
Homage to the blessed.
Noble and perfectly awakened one.
Noble and perfectly awakened one.
All together. Homage
to the blessed, noble, and perfectly awakened one.
Homage to the blessed,
noble, and perfectly awakened one.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa
bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa.
Namo
tassa
bhagavato arahato
sammasambuddhassa.
And then taking refuge. Again, we'll do it call and response. The first line, I go for refuge to the Buddha. Together, I go for refuge to the Buddha. I go for refuge to the Dhamma. Together,
I go for refuge to the Dhamma.
I go for refuge to the Sangha. Together,
I go for refuge to the Sangha.
For the second time, I go for refuge to the Buddha. Together, for the second time,
I go for refuge to the Buddha.
For the second time, I go for refuge to the Dhamma. Together,
For the second time, I go for refuge to the Dhamma.
For the second time, I go for refuge to the Sangha. Altogether,
for the second time, I go for refuge to the Sangha.
For the third time, I go for refuge to the Buddha. Altogether,
for the third time, I go for refuge to the Buddha.
For the third time, I go for refuge to the Dhamma. Altogether, for the third time, I go for refuge to the Dhamma. For the third time, I go for refuge to the Sangha. Altogether, for the third time, I go for refuge to the Sangha. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ
Gacchami. And these, we take also, we want to take the precepts, which is the ethical training. There's five, and the Buddha referred to them as the five great gifts because their power of safety, the safety that we're creating in this community, in this container, we stand in alignment with our integrity, with the precepts as trainings. It's not anything like commandments, it's just trainings and it's guidelines as how we are in the world. You know, how do we, how, what are our actions out in the world? And we stand in integrity and ethics with that, with the precepts. And I love when the Buddha referred to it as bliss of blamelessness. So we don't have to worry about feeling blame or shame, you know, because we're acting from a certain ethical core, and that's really important. And we always have that compass to come back to. So, and it creates safety within our own hearts, and also it creates safety in our communities and our families, especially in these times that we're at, where ethics seems to be the last thing that people are thinking about. We stand in our integrity, so important, especially in these times, and in community, in creating this beautiful container that we have of Sangha together, that we're going to be these days together, knowing that we're speaking truth. Well, we're not actually going to speak truth, are we? We're not speaking at all. But that we're not going to be taking other people's belongings, that we're not going to be thinking about sexual misconduct. There's no flirting or nothing going on here. And we ask people to respect that. We're not taking any intoxicants, right? We're not killing anything. So we're taking these precepts as, you know, as holding our container of safety with all of us, so we can all feel safe with each other. So important. And so there's five of them, and Nisha is going to go through the five and do chanting with them too.
So again, we'll do call and response in English, and then I'll chant in Bali, and you're welcome to join me. I undertake the training.
I undertake the training.
To refrain from destroying living beings.
To refrain from destroying living beings.
Panatipata vairamani sikkhapadam. Samadhyami. I undertake the training.
I undertake the training.
To refrain from taking that which is not freely given.
To refrain from taking that which is not freely given.
Adinadana vairamani sikkhapadam. Samadhyami. I undertake the training.
I undertake the training.
To refrain from sexual misconduct.
To refrain from sexual misconduct.
Kamesu michachara vairamani sikkhapadam samadhyami. I undertake the training.
I undertake the training.
To refrain from false speech.
To refrain from false speech.
Musawada vairamani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. I undertake the training. To refrain from taking intoxicants, which cloud the mind and lead to heedlessness. Sura meraya majjapamadatana Wait a morning, Sika Padam Samadhiyami. And then we'll close with the following line. May my training in peaceful conduct. Be the support and cause. For the realization of the path and its fruit. Idam me silam magphala jnanasya pachayo hotu. If you like, you can say sadhu three times, which is really just, I think of as appreciating this teaching that the Buddha offered.
Sadhu.